The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, y'all, Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Week one is in the books, and Urban Meyer is already rumored to USC. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the idiot whose favorite team took a running back in the first round. And with me, as always, is AJ. Natural left tackles are natural when playing left tackle, Marchese.
I have no feelings for Taylor Decker. They should have moved him to right tackle in the offseason. Now they're in a conundrum. Now what do they do?
I think Taylor Decker has been Wally Pipped. More on that in a bit. Today, we are talking NFL rookies, all the good and the bad from week one. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft. On fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady, driving out to Vegas, baby, looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
When I'm not drinking and I'm not sporting, I'm sportdrink.org, because that website is officially launched, and they are the greatest podcast network ever because they employ people like AJ and myself to just talk. And when AJ's not talking here, AJ's on Spotify Green Room. Ain't that right, AJ?
Correct.
And what's Spotify Green Room, you're asking? Well, I guess you've never listened to an episode of this podcast before, because we're always talking about it. It's a live, audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and to use. You might be thinking, that's a lot like a podcast. Well, no, guess what? This isn't live. We're not currently doing this. We did this last night, probably. And on Spotify Green Room, it's instant. It's live. It's like SNL. It's essentially SNL. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald, the GOAT. Spotify Green Room, the perfect place to watch parties and have watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and react to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, join the group. Come with your spiciest takes. Week one in the books, AJ. What's your initial take on NFL week one? We got that great Thursday night football game to kick off the season. We had a great Monday night football game, shockingly. We also got the Chiefs-Browns game. We got to see the Packers flail. We had that Steelers comeback. What was your favorite moment of week one before we dive into the rookies?
My favorite moments had to have been Derek Carr throwing the interception in the end zone after the false start, and watching Peyton and Eli's and Russell Wilson's reaction to all of those events.
Damn. But Derek Carr got his revenge. And Zay Jones proved you right after all these years.
Finally. No, that doesn't. That was pre-podcast. Any Zay Jones takes don't exist. But I was right. No, for sure.
No, you're right. Well, you said Zay would have. Zay Jones will win a football game one day. And you were right.
I was right. I said that. I stuck to my convictions about that. I went out on a limb and I was right.
My favorite moment was the Pittsburgh Steelers winning. Taking down Buffalo.
That makes sense.
That was my favorite moment.
My big takeaway, though, that's the question I thought you were going to throw at me, maybe hit me with a curveball, because I hated every moment of week one.
Yeah, as one does.
The most enjoyment I got was, though,
watching that Cardinals Titans game. I didn't watch the whole live game, but just keeping my eye on it. I watched it for the episode though, but keeping my eye on it. I didn't think there could be any bigger frauds than the Tennessee Titans. I thought it was an embarrassing performance top to bottom. And then the 4 o'clock window rolls around and you already mentioned it. The Packers were somehow even worse. I think those are the two biggest, what the fuck were they doing in moments of week one?
Yeah. And you know what? I was wrong about Zach Taylor. I would have thought he tied that game. And guess what? Zach Taylor pulled the win out. Marvin Lewis ties that all day.
I think it ties as good as a win in that situation.
Well, yeah, most definitely. And it would have been better for the league if it was a tie, in my opinion.
Joe Burrow and the Bengals, like that, there's just some sort of magical tyingness in there. Zach Taylor called a pretty good game. Yeah, like, why are we talking about this?
I don't know. Joe, you mentioned Joe Burrow. Well, he was a rookie quarterback last year. Guess what? We got five first-round rookie quarterbacks who saw the field. Three started. Two scored touchdowns that didn't start. All five had touchdowns. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think every single skill position player drafted in the top 15 scored a touchdown except for one. More on that later.
And two offensive tackles played really great too. Okay, let's start with Trevor Lawrence. I did the Jags game. Obviously, they got kind of mollywopped by the Texans. David Culley, you know, he runs a clean program down there in Houston. Urban Meyer, we've got the rumors about USC already. It's great. I'm loving it personally.
Call your shot now. Is he leaving? Is he leaving?
No, because I think it's going to be James Franklin.
So you're gonna say it's not because he doesn't want to take the job?
It's gonna be because he will not have made a decision by the time they, yeah, like he's gonna put off making that decision because he's gonna think he can make this Jaguars thing work.
It's good, but that's a good take. I like that.
Mike Bond's not gonna wait around for him, and he's gonna throw money at James Franklin. That's what I think. And then Urban Meyer will head to Penn State, of course. So Trevor Lawrence was kind of playing catch up all game. Houston kind of dominated that game.
Did you expect three
touchdowns
last week?
No. Well, I don't know. We are both low on the Jaguars,
yeah,
rightfully so, and hate Urban Meyer. So, honestly, it was a really pleasant watch for me. Like, I love Terod. You love Terod. He looked really good. Lawrence had his moments. His second touchdown pass, which was the deep ball in the left corner on a play action, rolling to his right, stepped up, avoided the pass rush. His feet looked good, and he really did a great job maneuvering the pocket the entire game. And then he just dropped a seed. He moved the safety just enough, dropped a seed, touchdown. But again, he threw three, and those looked good, but the three interceptions were all really bad. Like, one was he was rolling left, and you know how all those days at Clemson where he would make these rolling left throws look so easy because he's just so good at squaring his shoulders?
Yeah.
It looked like that was happening, and then he just threw it to a Texans defender who was just by himself. Another interception came when I think it was Pharaoh Brown was running a post, and he just threw it. I don't know if he just didn't see the linebacker, and he threw it behind Brown, but just, again, right to the the linebacker.
Wait, Farrell Brown's on the Texans.
Yeah, or sorry, not Farrell Brown. James O'Shaughnessy. Sorry, Farrell Brown's on my mind because I picked him up in fantasy because he looked really good.
James O'Shaughnessy, goat. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of that. There was also some drops. DJ Chark had a handful of drops.
Don't like to hear that.
He was also kind of like by far the go-to guy though. So he caught the big touchdown in the left corner. Mm-hmm. Marvin Jones had some flashes. It was not a lot of big plays from LaVisca Chenault. Like, I don't know, they threw it a freaking ton. He threw it 51 times. Mm-hmm. And the offensive line didn't play particularly bad or anything. He only took one sack. He did, again, a really good job avoiding pass rush, too. It was just like they were down immediately. Their defense looked horrible. I didn't really – I'm not going to mention Tyson Campbell really anywhere, but he looked kind of meh. C.J. Henderson did not play well. But overall, I would say given the circumstances of everything, it was for a first career game, like you saw the bright spots. I wouldn't be worried. I think the interceptions, again, were really bad, but the highs were high. He looked just so smooth operating and not phased by pass rush, which I think is a big, big check mark in terms of young quarterback play. So I don't know. Like, if I were to grade it, given the circumstances of situation and his first career game, like I would say it's like probably a C plus B minus range.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tack something on there. No, yeah, that makes sense. It's just the situation where if you're down immediately, you know your defense isn't making a lot of stops on the entire day because that's not the strength of your team. It's just a bad spot for a rookie quarterback to be in. But knowing that the offensive line didn't play too bad, and obviously he only got sacked once, so you said he maneuvered really well. And then obviously he looked like Trevor Lawrence. That's all really – that's more of a positive. Like that, I think the positives outweigh the negatives just because of the way the game goes. But if you're a Jaguars fan, I feel like you're feeling a lot worse about the team overall this week than you were last week.
Right. And again, like I'd be very concerned, again, as a Jaguars fan about coaching staff and the defense in particular.
Yeah.
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to like continue to grow. And he's got the, like, you saw enough from the skill guys in terms of Chark, Jones, Chanel. I want to see them use James Robinson more.
Yeah, what was up with like, that? Why did Hyde get more carries than Robinson?
Robinson looked good in his limited opportunities as a pass catcher. They just, like, and it felt like every time he got a carry, it was like 4 to 6 yards he'd pick up. I don't like, and Hyde didn't play that bad. They just were down so quickly that they barely ran the ball anyway. But I don't know why Hyde seems to have usurped him as like the number one back.
It's because it's Urban Meyer and he's Ohio State biased and stupid. No offense.
Right, and like that just leads you to be like, this whole situation's weird already, which not great. Anyway, let's jump to Zach Wilson, your guy who threw for 258, two scores. And a pick in his debut against
My guy, Zach Wilson.
Your guy, as in you watched that game.
I know. You spoke about Lawrence not looking phased by the pressure and the offensive line looking not bad at all, and the opposite was true for Zach Wilson. From the first snap, Wilson just had zero time to throw the football the entire game. I think the first drive, George Fant, and it continued through the whole game. He could not lay a finger on Brian Burns. It was embarrassing. But, like, Zach Wilson looked like Zach Wilson, where he's moving well. Maybe not succinctly, but moving. You know, he's a good athlete because he had to. And, like, he looked pretty good when he had the time to throw, which was rare. But the interception was really bad. Like, his interception. I don't know what he was doing. He stared down at the receiver, and I don't know if he just didn't see Shaq Thompson or, like, he just thought if he could zip it by him. But the ball didn't have enough zip, for sure. It was still a terrible decision regardless, and Shaq Thompson picked it off. Then Thompson almost had another interception where Wilson made a really nice move in the pocket, just a little quick little juke, got outside. No one was there, and he kind of just threw it low at Thompson. I don't know why he did that either. He almost picked it off. Then Wilson fumbles. He recovers it himself, but he tried to pull the same move that he just pulled. This time it did not work. The defender did not. He just stayed on the same path. He fumbled. So it was a rocky first half there. But like, he had to do a lot of the off-platform stuff that we saw at BYU, and like he was pretty effective doing it. But like, again, sometimes, or I'll get to the second half in a second. But like, He really got no help from his receivers other than Corey Davis, and they had zero running game, and the offensive line was playing really, really bad. Jumped to the second half, and I think the pressure got into his head. He was leaving the pocket early when it was there. Lots of, like, just back-footed throws when he didn't have to. He wasn't finding passing lanes. He had a couple balls batted back-to-back. I felt like he got into his head too much. And then it kind of settled back a bit where, like, he had the touchdown pass where he scrambled right. Corey Davis was wide open. It was an easy throw, but it was still, you know, it still looked good. Then he kept it for the 2-point. And then at the end, he did a pretty nice, like, stay-alive drive, flashed the arm, like, had a nice throw where he kind of got blown up and hit Mims down the sideline. It was kind of like, you know, the no-look almost kind of feel to it. But then it was also, like, he avoided the pressure on the back, and he could have just sat in the pocket and made the throw. But instead, he started running up and took the hit and made the throw. So it's like, why the fuck did you do that? But, yeah, plenty of good throws on time in that drive. And then it capped it off with the second touchdown to Davis, where he put it low and away from J.C. Horn, who I'm not going to mention, but I thought J.C. Horn had a pretty nice game. But overall, I don't know. Like, you saw the glimpses. I would be it's kind of like the Jags, where you got to be concerned about the offensive line. And Becton is out.
It's hard to throw, like, a letter grade on these guys, given, one, the circumstances, two, it's their first career game, three, like, when you see the positives, you get excited, and when you see the negatives, you don't want to bang them too hard because, again, it's their first career game, and they're playing on, for Zach Wilson, a team with a terrible offensive line, for Trevor Lawrence, a team that's coaching staff seems incompetent. So it's hard to bang either of those two specifically.
Yeah, I'll give Zach Wilson a C. But
okay,
the pressure concerns me at this point. I want to see him bounce back from that because – I think you started to see signs that it got into his head. And that's always
concerning. And my big positive takeaway with Trevor Lawrence is that he seems so unfazed by pressure.
Yeah, and we know Wilson has the physical capabilities to avoid the rush, but it wasn't always pretty.
Speaking of studs who are just touchdown machines, Trey Lance in his debut. 5-yard touchdown pass to Trent Sherfield. Also had 3 carries for 2 yards. I was hoping, because obviously it was the first drive where Lance threw that touchdown, I was hoping we'd see a little of him sprinkled in slightly more, but it was mainly just like kind of the throw a zone read in there every once in a while. And like Jimmy G played well enough that it's not the same situation as the Bears where it's like, fuck, just put Trey Lance in already. So I'll give him an A+ because he scored a touchdown.
I think that's fair.
He's
the NFL's Anthony Richardson.
I know it was Alliance and they did storm back, but like it's a good situation that, although I do think Trey Lance should be starting and I'm really excited for when he does, it's a good situation that it's definitely not going to, like, Shanny's hand's not going to be forced at this point to throw Lance in there. And I don't think, like, I'm sure the fan base wants to see Lance, but I don't think the fan base is going to be killing Shanahan for playing Jimmy G at the moment. The same way that every Chicago Bears fan probably hates Matt Nagy.
Of these five first-round quarterbacks, Lance was the one I at least wanted to see get tossed into the fire immediately, if I'm being completely honest, going into the draft. And I felt like San Fran was a great home for that because it doesn't have to be. And if he ever is, which I think we both kind of expect, he's in the best situation, right? So, I know you don't have to sit rookie quarterbacks, but like I feel like the Mahomes situation is like kind of like the clear path.
But
there, right?
I think Patrick Mahomes would have been great no matter what.
I agree. Like, but it definitely didn't hurt him. But it didn't. Yeah.
It's my belief is that if you're going to be a great quarterback, you're going to be a great quarterback. If you're not, you're not. The year, sitting a quarterback, I get where you can look at the positives, but you can also look at the negatives. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it all comes down to you can either play or you can't. I know you're not sitting here being like, sit Trey Lance for the whole year.
No, and I don't want him to at all.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to say Zach Wilson was that quarterback for me, where the quarterback I did not want to see thrown into the fire immediately. And
see, for me, I like Zach Wilson a lot less, so I didn't care.
Yeah, that's a fair take.
Where I love Trey Lance.
Justin Fields is a quarterback I felt confident could be thrown in the fire and thrive early, but Matt Nagy loves Andy Dalton, and so does Chris Collinsworth. Fields did get into the game, similar to Trey Lance, on that opening drive.
It's weird how similar.
He had that 9-yard completion, and then he had a 3-yard touchdown run on zone read. I mean, there's a similar to Trey Lance, A+.
A+. That's all you A+. Could say.
Justin Fields scored a primetime touchdown. He scored half the Bears' points. He scored more points than Andy Dalton.
All right, that's not true. Is your primetime star?
No, but it was a weak for that.
It was. We'll get there in a second. By the way, he doesn't count finally. For start the rook. He does not count for start the rook. We gotta kill.
Fuck. Well, I was gonna use me saying start the rook as a way to shit on Ohio State too, though.
Okay. I'm down for that.
Okay. Perfect. Finally, Mac Jones. So I think Mac Jones of obviously you did the Wilson game. I did the Lawrence game. I also did the Mac Jones game. Jones' highs were not nearly as high as Lawrence, but his lows were not nearly as low. He was very steady throughout the game. After the early drive, just wild fumble that I can't even explain, where he just decided to just throw the ball away backwards. Once you get past that, though, he threw for 281 to score, completed 74% of his passes. He seemed just, again, like... I don't want to use the term game manager because I think it's stigmatized at this point. But he really didn't do anything for them to lose. He did everything he needed to do for them to win, and then Damian Harris just kind of had that unfortunate fumble, yeah. And maybe Damian Harris will never touch the field again because Bill Belichick's his head coach. Mac Jones just, like, at times his the lack of zip did kind of show up. On certain throws where he had one big completion. I forget who it was to. It was like it was on a deep post, and had he thrown a perfect if he had more zip, essentially it would have been a touchdown. Instead it was still a huge completion.
Was it Aguilar? But
yeah, it was Aguilar. Aguilar didn't look too bad, by the way. He was like by far the most dynamic guy. But so that, I guess that was kind of the main thing. But when they were running the ball and their offensive line was playing really well, like Mac Jones just sitting back and just kind of operating the system. And I know they only put up 16 points, but they should have had a score at the end of the game until the fumble, which likely would have won the game. Like Mac Jones, I thought, played better than Tua.
Has your pre-draft opinion of Mac Jones changed?
Well, it's one game.
I know. I'm not saying it should. I'm just saying it has it.
He looked competent in the preseason. He looked very solid and steady in this game. I will say, like, I don't think he has the tools to ever be that top 10 quarterback, but, like, top 20?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, and again, it's a snapshot. It's one game. I'm just comparing it to Trevor Lawrence. He cannot do some of the things Trevor Lawrence was doing, mm-hmm. but he also was not making some of the same mistakes Trevor Lawrence was making.
Also, a lot better situation top to bottom than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and again, they were running the ball quite well. Like until his fumble, Damian Harris played a really nice game. The kind of the weapons he's using was interesting. They were using Jonnu Smith in some fun ways. I thought Jonnu Smith looked pretty good. I want to see them kind of involve Hunter Henry a little more, just because the wide receiver group's not that exciting. Like, again, Nelson Aguilar is your number one. But yeah, other than the fumble, like, it's hard to really ding anything Mac Jones did. He did enough for them to win.
Yeah, that, I mean, I'm not going to say it really sucks because go Fins, but for Mac Jones, it really sucks that that happened, because the game was in the bag virtually.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's the QB rundown. First one of the year. Got five of them to talk about each week at least. Maybe Kellen Mond gets in a game. Who knows? Anyway. Down to the most important questions of the week. Rookies of the week. AJ?
Yeah.
Who's your offensive rookie of the week?
My offensive rookie of the week, I went with my heart here. Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Philadelphia Eagles, who got that first catch in the same corner of the end zone that he caught his game winner as a freshman. That felt so great. It was It's a design like rub wheels. It was kind of like bread and butter for Devontae Smith, where like, he's got that great release, kind of just free release, obviously, too. And beats him to the end zone. And beautiful, nice touch throw from Jalen Hurts, who had a really nice game, a really impressive game, in my opinion. 6 catches, 71 yards, a touchdown. He just looked like his savvy self, man. Like, he looked like he did at Alabama. And obviously, it's the NFL, and he's not going to be as, like, 200 yards a game. But I think that everything translated there. And the route running was great. Constantly, like, finding the soft spot in the zone, which I think he did great at Alabama, too. No big yak plays, but he looked like he was a threat every time he touched the ball. And I think you got to be ecstatic. Again, the Philadelphia Eagles had an amazing first game, and the Falcons might be the worst team in the league. But I think you got to be ecstatic with how Hurts and especially Devontae Smith looked in their first games.
Yeah, you did the Eagles game, but from the snapshots I saw, like that opening, or I don't know if it was his first career touchdown, but
first touchdown of the game. I mean, Eagles,
it looked it looked like something Sark drew up at Bama. Yeah. Like it just looked.
Using Ertz on the rub was really smart, and you got the savvy where he's not going to use his hands to kind of get in the way. It definitely did. That, like I said, bread and butter. I think they did a really good job just getting his feet wet. But I think this is what they're just going to keep doing. And I don't know. I don't want to make any judgments about the Eagles because I think the Falcons are really, really bad. But I'm excited to see what they can do with Hurts and Smith. And Rager, who flashed some too, just to throw that in there.
My guy. My offensive rookie of the week is without a doubt. I could have chosen two different offensive tackles, but I think for me it was clear Rashawn Slater. What was that dude? He took on the best defensive line in the NFL, and it was like that Northwestern Ohio State game in 2019 where he handled Chase Young's business. The only guy in college that you saw kind of give Chase Young issues was Rashawn Slater. And guess what? He did it again in his NFL debut. He locked down Chase Young. He, and not just in pass protection, but he was moving him around in the run game, like turning him, and just looked so natural and balanced in pass protection. It was everything you remember from his Northwestern tape in 2019. Obviously, he opted out in 2020, but he is the franchise left tackle Justin Herbert needs. Herbert looked great too, by the way. At one point I was just like only watching Rashawn Slater play football. It was kind of him and Penei Sewell were the highlights of my week personally, just focusing on them and watching them go to work, easily reaching landmarks, just shuffling Chase Young out of the play, getting his hand placement was phenomenal in the run game, and just getting underneath him and moving him. And again, it's Chase Young. Chase Young's got the potential to be one of the five best defensive players in the NFL. And he had very little impact when facing Rashawn Slater.
I didn't watch this game, but I flipped over to it, and it was that third and, I don't know, what was it, 16 in the fourth quarter for the Chargers, backed up into their own goal line. And right away I was watching Slater, and he had Young matched up on him. And Slater just ate his lunch, and Young tried to go to like this like little this little jump rip kind of move, and Slater just dominated him, got him totally off balance, and then they got the first down. I'm like, holy fuck, that looked just like the Ohio State Northwestern tape from 2019.
Yeah, his cheat code is just he plays so balanced all the time. He his feet and his base, his core is so balanced. He's never lungy. Everything was great from him. I think, again, Penei Sewell, shout out to you, but Rashawn Slater's got to be my pick. Defensive guy, that was a lot tougher for me. Maybe you had an obvious one.
No, I totally didn't have an obvious one. So I went with one of your faves, Nick Bolton, who played a lot for the Kansas City Chiefs. He looked as advertised. I think every time we talk about Nick Bolton, we use the word thumper, and he was thumping around, baby. The KC run defense wasn't great, obviously, but the Browns' run attack is awesome. But he may have been the most effective part of that run defense, and we saw him delivering some of that big hits that we saw at Mizzou. And I thought just because of the magnitude of this football game, and because he's going to have so many big games to be playing in, and he's going to have to look good in those big games, that he kind of just deserved this award this week. He had 7 tackles. He had a TFL. I think he had another TFL that he didn't get credited for. But, no, really, really effective game. And he really adds that speed and just, I don't know. I think Nick Bolton's just a solid dude that's going to make a lot of plays for you, whether it's in the run or just cleaning up passes. I think that's what we saw, and I think that's big for the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about how the lack of athleticism at the linebacker mm-hmm. position, like, not that the Chiefs have a major flaw, but, like, if you were to be nitpicky, that's been one of the things you would point to. And getting an electric player like Nick Bolton in there is pretty exciting. I'm glad to hear he played well.
Yeah, and going back to that, Willie Gay obviously didn't break out like anyone hoped he would either. So I think Bolton getting his feet under him immediately is a really, 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 really good sign.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe a less obvious one. He was kind of my obvious pick this week, but I don't know how much attention he's getting from national media. Paulson Adebo.
Mm-hmm.
Paulson Adebo was fantastic in that embarrassing game for the Green Bay Packers. He had the interception, and I think that maybe kind of drummed up some extra buzz. But he played every single defensive snap, which is not something I was necessarily expecting, yeah. Though the Saints do have a lack of corner, talent at corner. But overall, he was targeted 4 times, and he gave up 1 grab for 14 yards. He just looked like he belonged out there, and that's another opt-out guy. Both my picks were opt-out guys.
Yeah.
He opted out in 2020 at Stanford. What was it, 2018, when he was a redshirt freshman?
Yeah.
We were talking up as a potential future first-round corner. The 2019 tape was a little sporadic, then opted out. So it was a bit polarizing in the process, but I was so happy to see him out there and just looking like he belonged. He handled speed just fine. He played... It's funny, offensive tackle and corner positions you would necessarily compare, but balance is such an underrated aspect of both, and he played so balanced, very like did no false steps, balanced. His pedal was smooth, and low center of gravity, and in phase like looked perfect. I don't know. I'm really excited to see if this continues, because I mean, the Packers' passing attack is no small thing to debut against.
Oh no, Aaron Rodgers is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. I think it's pretty easy job. No, but honestly, like, if you were to tell me the day before the draft that Paulson Adebo is going to be the week one defensive rookie of the week for you, and he was also he's one of the nominees for Pepsi rookie of the week as well. He's the only defensive player. I don't think I would have believed you, and that's not because of the lack of talent for Adebo, but just because, obviously, he opted out, and because he wasn't himself in 2019. So seeing this immediately for the New Orleans Saints, I think you're kind of right, where maybe he's not getting the big media attention. I don't know. Every Saints fan should be absolutely thrilled. I know they just paid Marshawn Lattimore, and he's out. But they should be absolutely thrilled that Adebo had this kind of performance week one. I think you should be more thrilled about that than maybe anything else, except for Jameis Winston.
Right. No, I'm with you.
That's huge.
So who's your pick for defense?
Nick Bolton.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Who's your worst rookie?
Losing my mind. Who's my worst rookie's a linebacker. So I didn't have like anybody who was obnoxiously bad that was playing enough type thing.
Okay.
So my pick is more predicated on the hype going into the game, and maybe not quite living up to it. So my pick's Micah Parsons. And by no... Like, Micah Parsons wasn't disgustingly bad, but he wasn't good. He was not good against Tampa, and that's a hard team to debut against. He had 7 tackles, broke a pass, quarterback hit. Played 78% of the snaps. They were rotating their linebackers, which mm-hmm. I did not like that much. They were playing Parsons and Keanu Neal together a lot, and LVE and Jalen Smith together a lot. To me, Micah Parsons should be out there 100% of the snaps, or close to. I know he ended up playing 78%, but like LVE and Jalen Smith are not who they were 3 years ago or whatever. But Parsons was kind of, on multiple occasions, a step slow because not because of his athleticism, because he's a freak athlete, but just hesitating to react at times. Gave up a couple completions. I think the one that really stood out was the one in the flats of Leonard Fournette where it looked like Michael Parsons should have had a pick.
And Leonard dunked Fournette on just him, baby. Snapped.
Yeah. You're right about Leonard Fournette, AJ.
I said he's the best pass catching back. Marshall Faulk,
too.
Yep, that's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so it was kind of just all this. Micah Parsons is going to be a no-doubt defensive rookie of the year, and I think Hard Knocks fed into that, too. And he looked quite good in preseason, too. But then like, he had an opportunity to kind of put that game away there. Yeah. And there was, a handful of times where – and against the run, too, he was getting washed away. And that's a really good offensive line in Tampa Bay, no doubt. But, I don't know, he just – without an obvious poor performance from someone who played a ton, I went with the guy who had kind of the most hype going into it all and kind of had an opportunity to put that game away and didn't.
No, I totally get that. It feels like Micah Parsons was like the most polarizing rookie of the week because when you're watching the game live, a lot of people were on him. And then you throw on you wake up Friday morning and you go on Twitter or Friday afternoon, whatever. And then people start digging into the All-22, and I think PFF gave him like a 71 grade, and people are like, you know what, people really overreacted with the Parsons, blah, 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 blah. And I think there's a happy medium ground where Parsons flashed, but he was really up and down. And like you said, that play was really bad. There's a couple times, like you said, just the instinctual, not like just missing steps. And they used him pretty fun. Like at least they let him get after the passer a bit. But I feel like he was somewhere in between, and he wasn't great at all, but he wasn't terrible. But I do think, considering the expectations, I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it's because again, I didn't like. I could have. There was maybe three offensive linemen I was considering.
I chose an offensive lineman.
and a corner, but I don't know. I just it had more to do with the spotlight on Micah Parsons heading into that. Who's your pick?
Yeah, so I actually have an offensive lineman that's worse than him, but because of the spotlight of Monday Night Football, I had to choose Leatherwood. Yeah,
I was going to put him, and then I was like, if I put him, I bet AJ's already putting him. I'll put someone else.
I like it. Yeah, I appreciate it.
And I think them coming back and winning that way kind of overshadowed his poor performance.
Well, yeah, because the game was on his head for a second there. Because he false started at the goal line in overtime. That should have and would have cost him the game if not for Mad Max Crosby. So if they didn't come back and win that game, I totally agree. I think everyone would have been like on Leatherwood's ass. But it's not like he made up for it. He just got lucky. I think it was just bad. He was bad. Even when Carr was making good throws, it looked like he was getting beat. I forget what play it was specifically, but we both just laughed at every. I think it was Ruggs where he got hit him with a nice one, or no, it's Waller for sure, where Carr just got lit up and Leatherwood just got beat bad. And there's the other one.
He Justin Houston schooled him a couple times. Yeah. He gave up that awful sack. Got, like you said, the false start, got called on a hold.
Yep.
I for a bit there, I was just watching him. And pretty much any time Justin Houston went up against him, he's just in his bag.
Yeah, that third down in the second quarter when Houston just fucking cooked him. And, yeah, it was mainly Justin Houston.
And, like, Derek Carr did a good job hiding some of that, getting the ball off.
Yeah.
And I don't like to compliment Derek Carr usually.
He had a good game. That's fine but to compliment him.
No, it's not. Come on. David, I'm an older brother, so I'm pro David.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
but yeah, no, Leatherwood had a pretty damn tough debut.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Primetime star. It wasn't Alex Leatherwood. It wasn't Michael Parsons. I feel like there's no great choice. So I flipped the side of the ball here and some of the Leatherwood saw a lot.
Odafe?
I went with Odafe Oweh, yeah.
I think he... If again, there was no like blatant pick, but I still think he was definitely the pick.
Yeah.
Because he did, like, he was more impactful in his playing time in a positive way than any other rookie in primetime, I think.
Yeah, like, just to touch on some other guys, Joe Tryon flashed a bit too. I think he had a quarterback hit.
I debated putting them both down, but I thought Oway just kind of did more.
And me too.
More.
And just to throw one more name out there, Robert Rochelle flashed. He only got like 19 snaps, yeah. But I think he had to pass PBU. And just like a really solid start. Again, it's the Bears, but still, I think that was a really promising start for him. But no, I think I think Oway is the pick, and he had the sack where he just flashed the fucking the 4.39 speed chasing down Derek Carr. Like a bear chasing down a mountain goat. I don't even know if they kill mountain goats, but that's what it'll look like.
I was going to say, I didn't think he would play as many snaps as he did, 56%. I think him and Justin Houston are going to be a very fun combination. Because Justin Houston still, like, has that the aging situational pass rusher can still do it. Like, flashes of, in my mind, Robert Mathis, John Abraham, guys who just, James Harrison, guys who extend their career just because they're so good with their hands. And to have Oway, who's still learning, but just the freaky athleticism. He had more sacks in this game than he had all of his last year at Penn State.
It's true. That's true. And he also had that nice play where he slipped both Alex Leatherwood and then Jermaine Illuminor make a TFL in overtime. I don't know if he got credited with the TFL, but he made it.
Two of the best offensive linemen in the league.
Two of the best offensive linemen in the league, Leatherwood and Luminor.
It just feels like, even though, again, it wasn't like a major, major performance, the flashes were there, and it's Baltimore. They know how to develop this type of player to take those physical traits and turn it into production. And, again, to see him play as much as he did, because I thought he would be one of those rookies that – it would be a handful of snaps a game, like 10 snaps a game, something like that. Mm-hmm. See him playing over half the defensive snaps in his debut, I think that's a really good sign for Ravens fans.
Yeah, no, for sure. And he looked good doing it. Underwhelming performance. I almost feel like you could put Parsons here, but you wanted to be mean, and I respect that. So I want to know who you put here.
I got a couple different ones. Number one is Najee Harris.
Yeah, I got two. I don't want to be too fucking mean on week one, to be honest. But
I know. And let me, again, I'm a Steelers fan. Mm-hmm. I love Najee Harris. You love Najee Harris. I don't believe in drafting running backs in the first round, but part of me was happy. As a pass catcher, he only had one grab for 4 yards.
And he should have done something on that catch, too.
But he also would have been more impactful if Ben Roethlisberger could hit him.
Yeah.
That 4 yard catch, you were right though. He lined up a receiver. It was like quick slant. He had one defender on him and he should have broke that tackle and scored.
Yep.
He also should have had a touchdown on like a drag, or I don't know. He's in the flats. I can't remember. And Ben just straight up missed him by a mile. Mm-hmm. And had he hit him, it probably, you would assume Najee Harris would score there. On the ground, he just wasn't really breaking first contact. Now, in his defense, he was getting hit a lot early. I don't think the offensive line was starting two rookies and a second year in Kevin Dotson, and it didn't play that great. But he still wasn't like creating anything really at all. He was very rarely breaking first contact. Like, there weren't any runs you were necessarily excited about, even with Matt Canada sending motions everywhere. He ran for 45 yards, 2.8 a carry. It was just underwhelming given, again, kind of similar to Micah Parsons, the hype going into it. Like, this guy's got a real good chance to be that offensive rookie of the year from the jump. I do want to say, because I don't have him anywhere, Pat Freiermuth is an incredible blocker already.
That's good. That's a good sign. This isn't my main guy, so I'm going to go to my alt guy first, because everything you just said about Najee Harris pretty much applies to Javonte Williams, except he only played 50% of the snaps, where Harris played 100% of the snaps.
Yeah, Harris played every single snap, which was kind of wild.
But the same thing where, like, the Broncos offensive line wasn't good, but Javonte Williams just wasn't creating anything. And in the preseason and obviously at UNC, we saw a guy that was breaking first contact consistently. And just making, you know, the second level, making guys miss and just finding the next block and turning 10-yard runs into 30-yard runs and whatever. Wasn't that game for him this week. But there's a couple decent runs. I think he had one, like, 10-yard run. But overall, literally the same, 45 yards for Javonte Williams. One catch for negative 4 yards. Not much there either. 3.2 yards per carry. He just, again, I don't think... I don't think I'm going to say he's bad, just underwhelming, because I thought he was a guy that could look good immediately. And they talked him up a lot, and it was almost like a hush-hush secret that they're going to be in a real split, and this could be Javonte's show early. But Melvin Gordon obviously had the – he was the fastest player in week one, Rob. Can you believe it? 22 miles per hour or something like that.
us Badgers fans knew that. It's not as fast as Monty Ball, though.
Not as fast as Monty, as they always say. But yeah, just a little underwhelming there.
Especially because with running backs too, I think we judge them harder because one, they're less valuable and they've been taken pretty early, and two, it's proven to be a position that you can transition into the NFL quicker than other positions. Do you want to go again or do you want me to go?
No, I'll go. Last thing to say, they usually transition quicker. And the shelf life is quicker, so they usually do it, but they have to do it quicker as well.
No, 100%.
So I totally agree. Where the expectations are higher, especially I guess the Giants' front is good. It's a good front, or at least the D line is. Tough go. Got the Jags this week, so Denver's got a good get right game. Anyway, not that the Broncos were bad, but at all. Going to a really, really, really bad football team. Underwhelming performance, I think the key name here is Kyle Pitts. And that starts with expectations that were over the roof. They were just stupid high. But I think a lot of – he had four catches for 31 yards, by the way. Get that out there. A lot of this, though, is on the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm not here to rip Kyle Pitts at all. I'm here to rip the Atlanta Falcons. It felt like
you can kind of put it that in the category with Najee and Micah Parsons too. Then, and just in terms of the hype was too much.
Yeah.
So almost no matter what happened on the field, it was going to be underwhelming.
Pretty much, yeah. Unless he went out but people were talking about him being a Hall of Famer, being a 1,000-yard receiver as a rookie.
This is true. This is true.
So ridiculous stuff. So it's almost like if he had a 90-yard performance and a touchdown, I could have put him here. Anyways. I felt like the Falcons were using him well in terms of just where in the formation. They use him in line. They use him in the slot. They use him out wide. That was pretty well done. But they were not designing anything for him. And they never gave him a good shot in the red zone when they got down there on occasion. It was all lots of just flats and outs. And he had one decent one where he caught on a little seam for 15 yards. But it wasn't a first down because they were behind the chains, if I remember correctly. His first catch of the game was a little zag route on a fourth down that he converted, but I don't know. It was fourth and less than a yard, and he caught it right at the sticks. I don't know if he actually got it. It's he's going to get more credit than that than he actually deserves. I mean, catching traffic, sure, but he didn't really do anything. And it was just they're running him short of the sticks on third down a lot. So yeah, it's not on Pitts. It's two things I already mentioned. Expectations being stupid high, and then you even more compounded that with the fact of the expectations in the room where they traded Julio. They need Kyle Pitts to be wide receiver two immediately. That's just a rough situation. Secondly, like I said, the Falcons just not using him creatively or well at all, and the offense overall looks like a fucking disaster. Like I said earlier, they look like they might be the worst team in football. And this start is just exactly what the people that questioned the pick in the moment envisioned. Just that he's a tight end going into a team that looks like it's on the downslope and you're going to have to rebuild and you haven't really started that process yet. And it's how much is he really doing for you now? And as I mentioned off the top of the show, every other skill position rookie in the top 15 scored this week. So that made him look a little bit worse.
Right. I'll give you two more quick ones. Liam Eichenberg for the Dolphins. He was playing left tackle because Austin Jackson was out. Played every snap. Got two holding calls. Got beat bad on a sack. Josh Uche gave him some stuff. He might have tripped. But it looked bad. If you watch it live, just straight up, it looked bad. On the replay, and maybe you look at his feet a little more, it had to do with some tripping. But he kind of underwhelming.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill him, but he's gonna need to step up, especially because Austin Jackson had an up and down rookie year.
You're not gonna kill him, but if he had this performance last year, Brian Kelly would.
Damn, that was good, AJ.
I know, I had to jump in there before I lost the chance to say it. Anyways, continue.
Okay. And moving to a Michigan man, Nico Collins.
Yeah.
He played a ton against the Jags. 55% of the snaps. He is playing like he's their wide receiver too, across from Brandon Cooks. Danny Amendola in the slot. He had only 3 targets, 1 grab, 7 yards. He got called an OPI, which it was going to be a sick touchdown if he didn't pass interfere. He just really struggled to create separation. And I was just, for a while, because that game, when the Texans had the ball on offense, they were kind of, they got up so quick so early that they were just like kind of killing time, it felt like. So I was just watching specifically Nico Collins for a while. And yeah, the routes need to get crisper and he needs to do a better job separating. But it's fun that he's going to be playing so much, I think.
I didn't put this one down, but because like the same thing happened, I wasn't impressed with Terrace Marshall. He had, like, I don't know, 3 catches for 28 yards, something like that. A couple drops. Also got called for offensive pass interference, which I thought was funny. Yeah, and a guy that got a lot of hype there. Yeah.
Okay, it looks like a hit.
So this was another reason I mentioned Terrace Marshall. Speaking of insane media conclusions and expectations, speaking of LSU wide receivers, I had to give it to Ja'Marr Chase because of what he had to get put down by in the preseason and how crazy this story got, to coming out and having 5 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown in his first game. And he literally just ran by Rashad Breeland on the 50-yard touchdown. Like, it was both impressive, but not really, because Breeland just seems so bad. I don't know. But regardless, after all the headlines about him leading up to the season, this was just such a great shut the hell up game where he comes out, he looks good, he had no drops, he caught 5 of 7 targets, got the W for the Bengals. They got him involved in the screen game a bit. We saw the clip on Twitter today where he kind of turned Pat inside out in the route. So, like, I think he's going to be effective and dangerous at all 3 levels, which is something to appreciate after his first game and after him, people saying he's never going to be able to catch football in his life again. So I think just such a great job coming out there. And again, I don't think it was some amazing fucking performance, but he was really good. And it just, again, with people saying he's going to be so bad, I think it was a great game.
This is a good transition to mine because it's Penei Sewell, who nobody, it felt like, got shit on more than Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell during preseason.
Yep.
Sewell was obviously playing right tackle in the preseason, started at left tackle week 1 with Taylor Decker injured, and was awesome. If Rashawn Slater wasn't as good as he was against Chase Young, it would have been Sewell, because Sewell looked great against another Ohio State pass rusher, Nick Bosa, who really didn't do anything against Sewell. And Sewell was killing dudes in the run game. Sewell looked especially good in the run game. And if you go back to the Oregon tape, he was a guy who was so explosive out of his stance.
Yeah.
And climbing to the second level just seems so natural for him. And that's transitioned perfectly in the NFL. He was playing like an asshole too. He looked great. I thought Nick Bosa would give him far more trouble than he did, but Sewell just like used that athleticism to match up against Bosa, and Bosa's hands like really didn't get the best of Sewell at any point. I think it's gonna be a Wally Pipp. I think he's gonna be the left tackle, because by the time Taylor Decker is healthy, Sewell's gonna have a handful of weeks of great left tackle tape. And if you did worry about him as the Lions at right tackle, I don't know why you'd switch him back there, because he just looks so much more natural here.
This is so terrible to say, but the Decker injury was a blessing in disguise. I think just for me, because I'm happy that he's getting the shot at left tackle, and for the Lions, because I think they drafted their franchise left tackle and he's finally there.
And not even to be the left tackle, right tackle thing, but when you draft a tackle that early who's so good on one side and he's struggling on the other side, and like it's really hard to transition from one side to the other. Like, it's like switching left to right-handed. Like, it's completely different. I don't know why you would try to force him to do that if he's just going to be this good at left tackle.
Yeah, and
it just seems unnecessary.
And I don't know. You obviously you have a lot invested in Taylor Decker too, but it just seems like I can. I don't know. I think from the start the move was to give Decker the right tackle spot, and
mm-hmm.
because he's done it before, and I know it's a long time ago, but he's done it before. And two, yeah. he's been in the league and been productive for you. And I know you risk giving that up, but if I were to trust anyone, you know, between Sewell and Decker to move to the opposite side and be productive immediately, it would not be the rookie who hasn't played in a year.
No, that's a good way to look at it. My looks like a miss is Alex Leatherwood. Who's yours? Because it's a miss for Mike Mayock, not for me.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, I maybe this one's a miss for someone. Okay. It's week one. I don't want to say anyone looks like a miss yet. I could have done a positive one.
Yeah, I know. That's,
but I put, a, yeah, put other guys other places. So I just don't think it's fair. So I'm just going to pose a question to you, okay? We might get our answer this week, but what happened?
You know what? My looks like a miss should have been Mac Jones then, because he looked so much better than I would have expected, and I would not have expected him to start week one as a rookie.
True. That's a good one, too.
Okay. Sorry. Now go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thanks. You totally interrupted that. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened with Trey Sermon? He looked like running back two, or maybe even 1A all preseason. I don't think he was spectacular in the preseason, but he was good. And then he's a healthy scratch week one? Like, was this just classic shenanigans? Or what? And then, of course, you compound that with the fact that Eli Mitchell had a really, really, really great game. And I know this is your game, but I mean, with Mostert being done now for the year, I'm sure we'll get to see Sermon this week. But it was still such a strange, like when you saw that come across the ticker that he was a healthy scratch. That was such a, I don't know what happened there. It was so strange. I don't know. And especially with the way they use the running backs, like, why not get him a look week one? Even if you think Mitchell's better right now, why would you not give him a look? So I want to hear your thoughts on what the fuck happened here.
I have no idea because it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I know that obviously Raheem Mostert got hurt, so you would think Trey Sermon's not going to be a healthy scratch this following week.
Well, they signed Kerryon Johnson to the practice squad.
Oh, right. Big for producer James. Elijah Mitchell looks like I don't know why you wouldn't trust. And again, the offensive line played. I'll get to Elijah Mitchell in a bit. Yeah. But the offensive line played awesome. And in that Shanahan scheme, like I think like almost any back would have had production in that game. Mm-hmm. But Mitchell's the hot hand right now. I don't know. I don't want to give a snap judgment on Sermon until he's active for a game and getting some carries. But yeah, I don't know. Mitchell looked like what Sermon was supposed to be for this team, just with that one cut kind of in the open field physical style.
Yeah, but the stupid part about it is Trayman didn't get the opportunity to look that good. And I think Sermon looked better. Did I call him Trayman? Trey Sermon looked better in the preseason than Mitchell did. Not that they both had nice preseasons, but. Yeah, just such a strange situation that I was so out of nowhere.
You know what else is out of nowhere? When you go live on Spotify Green Room.
I do not inform a single soul. It's at a drop of a hat.
But it's lucky because the people with the Spotify Green Room app who follow you get notified when you go live. So they'll just see it that you're live and then they hop in and they get to watch you talk about Norm MacDonald. Because rest in peace to a legend.
If you want
to
hear me cry, yeah.
The goat.
I.
That was a moment of silence for Norm. I love Norm. You love Norm. We all love Norm.
Canada's
best.
Can I mention? I don't know why I'm doing this on the show. I kind of just want to tell you, just a quick personal Norm story. Me and my dad both love the moth joke, as I think most people do. But a little great moment. It was trying to get my dad to tell the moth joke to his parents. Who are not great English speakers, just trying to get him to really commit to the bit, and they had no idea what was going on, and trying to get him with Norm's deadpan, straight-faced delivery. It was just a hilarious moment, and then, this was so sad when this all just came
down. I can't even imagine that happening. It's so absurd. Oh, that's great, though.
I think he got to the end, and they just didn't know what was going on. I was just dying.
That's hilarious. You know what's not hilarious? When Pittsburgh Steelers need to step it up, and I got my two players who need to step it up are both Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, man.
One, Kendrick Green, who had his moments, mm-hmm. but for the most part, the offensive line didn't get any push in the run game. I thought Dan Moore at right tackle played better than Kendrick Green, actually, against the Bills. Ed Oliver had a really nice game, actually. Just
like to hear that.
Put that one in your back pocket, yeah. But yeah, Kendrick Green had a very not memorable game debut. I'm Presley Harvin, who murdered it in the preseason, yeah. Won the starting job. He averaged 41.4 per punt on five punts against the Bills, but had one bad shank and another just not so good punt. I don't know, rookie jitters, but two unimpressive punts. Didn't matter. Steelers won anyway, but yeah, I'd like to see more from both of them.
So I'm going to go with someone that had a great preseason, and I think he's going to be fine. So this is not going to be like he's bad. Don't. He's not going to do it. I think he's going to step up. Elijah Molden. Again, they were.
He played a lot of snaps, right?
Yeah, he played a lot. He was around the football a lot. They used him fun. They blitzed him a lot. He never got home, but they blitzed him a lot. Felt like he was in a position to make quite a few tackles, but just couldn't. And then Christian Kirk just cooked him out of the slot for his touchdown. I think this was just week one. He's getting his feet wet. The team was entirely a disaster. So like I said, I think he's gonna be fine. I was kind of encouraging to see him around the football so much, but struggled in the ultimate result of this game. So I think he's gonna do it, but he needs to do it too. And then quickly, I'm gonna say the New York Jets offensive rookies, not including Zach Wilson, but him too. Elijah Moore, who caught one ball on three targets.
Yeah, talk about a player who had hype and didn't really get a lot going on. Yeah,
for negative yardage. Wilson had one where he kind of just a classic Zach Wilson chuck it deep, but Moore had a shot on it. It wasn't an easy catch at all. Tough adjustment. He had a DB on him, but I feel like if he brings that ball down, it was in the first half. If he brings that down, I feel like it changes the course of the game. If that's not a little too much to say. Secondly, Michael Carter did nothing. Had a bad drop. He just running into the pile and going down. Really, and again, the offensive line is terrible. But just really not an inspiring performance. And lastly, Elijah Vera Tucker, who I tried to focus on, but there was Jets had so many rookies. It's hard to focus on AVT and Wilson. They played the most rookies out of everyone. So kind of hard to bounce around. So I didn't think in a vacuum he was terrible, but he wasn't good. Like, that's easy to say. And now with Becton being mm-hmm. out, he has to step up. He has to do it.
Okay, not ready to play. Sticking with the offensive line theme.
Me too.
Royce Newman had a really tough game for the Packers. The Packers started him and Josh Myers on the inside. With obviously David Bakhtiari, Sertol, Elton Jenkins playing left tackle. He did not look very good against the Saints. Josh Myers played pretty well, actually. But Royce Newman, I thought, just did not look ready to be out there as a day three rookie starting guard. And Benjamin St. Juste, the Canadian, for the Washington football team, he only played 58% of the snaps. But the Chargers receivers, I mean, that's not a great, easy matchup for him, especially against a quarterback like Justin Herbert. But yeah, he just looked really out of position, like, pretty consistently.
Can I quickly gripe about Royce Newman? Because, I don't know, when they kind of said he's going to be the starter and had a really good preseason and all that, the Packers fan just felt like, oh, here's the next one, baby. Like, he's good. Like, they hyped him up so much. And I was like, man, he's...
Did they hype Josh Myers as much?
No, they didn't, which was weird. Unless I just saw the Newman stuff.
Because Josh Myers, look, because I think starting at center as a rookie is harder than guard.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, he, especially because he's playing beside Royce Newman, it really made you appreciate the level that Josh Myers was kind of playing at.
You know, it could have been because Myers, you know, just lived up to expectations, you can say, as a second round guy. Where Newman, you know, was the fourth round, late fourth round pick.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're like, we got another one of these, you know, plug and play. And, I don't like the Packers. this one hurts. Okay. This my not ready to play hurts. I only watched this game live, but Jalen Mayfield and the rest of the Falcons offensive line were just a fucking disaster. I think he might, like I mentioned earlier, I think he might be the worst rookie. But like I said, Leatherwood got the spotlight, so Mayfield just gets place here. He was just completely thrown. Like, he played the whole game. He thrown into the fire against Fletcher Cox and a rejuvenated, reinvigorated Javon Hargrave, who looked amazing. But yeah, it just didn't help that Hennessy beside him, no help from him. The whole line was bad. He may have been the worst rookie. Just, just not ready. He just didn't look ready, which hurts because both as a Michigan fan and someone who was, I was high on him coming out. And go ahead.
No, I was just gonna move on.
No, last thing. Guess what, Rob? He gets Vita Vea this week, so I don't think it's gonna get better.
Vita Vea gets no fantasy points.
That's true. Can't be good. I'm starting him again. I don't care.
His tape's dominant. I know. Best A3 rookie for me is Elijah Mitchell, who ran for 104 yards and a score, 5.4 carry against the Lions. It was easy running. In terms of, like, he wasn't getting touched a lot of the time until he was, like, 3, 4, 5 yards downfield. But he also had, like, the touchdown running looked really great on. Mm-hmm. He's breaking first contact pretty consistently. I was getting those Alfred Morris vibes, just, like, this one-cut style back who was a day-three pick, Shanahan scheme. It's just easy money behind an offensive line playing at that level. So it wasn't this dude might compete for rookie of the year type thing. But it's this dude's going to be really productive given the circumstances. I would like to see Trey Sermon in the same situation, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the split is going forward and how much Sermon gets looked at. Speaking of money, easy money, baby, my best day three rookie is Evan Easy Money McPherson, who I could have put for a looks like a miss because I wasn't high on him. The only drafted kicker comes in for the Cincinnati Bengals, goes 2 for 2 with that 53-yard field goal for the win, baby. Didn't miss an extra point. Sent the Bengals to the W. Looked good. Got a lot of power on the leg. Hitting touchbacks, too. The Bengals always fuck up the kicker position. Looks like they got one right, and I was wrong this time. As opposed to Jake Elliott, you idiots. I can't believe you caught him still.
Good pick. Best UDFA rookie. I didn't like have any UDFA rookie who did anything.
Me neither. But
okay.
Because
it is week one, so
I got one. Because it's the anniversary of 9/11 on the weekend, he got elevated to the 53-man roster. John Rattigan, national hero, who had a really, really good special teams tackle for the Seahawks. That's it. That's all I got.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, and he's got to the 53-man now. So again, looked good, looked pretty good on specials. So that's fun. I didn't think he was going to make the team at all. When they signed him quick after the draft, I'm like, okay, John Rattigan, it's kind of fun watching him play in college, but like, I don't know. Okay, and he made the team, and now look, he's on the 53-man right away. That's pretty impressive.
Okay, rookie who flashed. I already mentioned Josh Myers, who did. I'll give you a corner and a receiver, Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah.
Four catches, 61 yards, and a score on 6 targets. The score was pretty easy, but he had a nice catch and run that I thought was pretty popping. Devontae Parker looked really great.
Mm-hmm.
So those two were really fun to watch together. And then Asante Samuel Jr., who against the Washington football team, just other than a DPI, looked really good and looked really like kind of ferocious coming down, hit like a willing run defender.
That's good. That's really positive to see. Okay. I'll give you a one main breakdown and then a couple quick hitters here. Rondale Moore, man, like he looked fast. I mean, that's what you expect of him. They got him on the screen in the first half, and it wasn't bad. He just never really broke. He was waiting for the block to set up. And then in the second half, if I remember correctly, they hit him on another one, and he got a big gain where he just looked at a different speed than the defense. So that's such a good sign, and they were using him well. But even, like, he just looked good, just, like, as a plain old receiver running routes. Kyler had a crazy scramble, and he ended up, like, finding Rondale, like, after, I don't know, he made, like, six guys miss. Murray was amazing in this game. And then Rondale came back to kind of help, found some soft area on the sideline, and he had to make a nice little adjustment for the catch, too. I think that's a really good sign. Releases look good. The routes look pretty crisp from what I could see watching. We don't get all 22 in Canada, but from what I was trying to see. And he was looking like a legit threat returning kicks. So I think a very, very positive first game, especially with all the, you know, everything was clicking on the offense with the Cardinals. So it's not like they had to force it to him or anything, but very positive. Like they chose their spots, but he looked good as even just a regular receiver. A couple quick hits. Kenneth Gainwell flashed a bit, had a touchdown. That was cool to see. The Eagles offense was really good and the running game was good. Anthony Schwartz, they really got him involved from the hop, and I didn't expect that. Obviously had the big play.
That's a good point. Yeah, he was playing a lot. Yeah, I guess with the Odell out.
Yeah, no, shoot, and he's gonna be out again. But no, like even like he felt like he was the guy like over Donovan Peoples-Jones. Had the reverse for 17 yards. They use him pretty well. And I think that's kind of just what he's gonna be though. I don't think he's gonna evolve into anything more. Again, he might be getting open more, but I think that's what he's gonna be. And then lastly, two pass rushers. Kwity Paye, really good against the run. I thought Dwayne Brown kind of gave him the business a bit. But he got credited with a couple hurries, and then he recovered Chris Carson's fumble. So that's a really, really promising start. And for the Giants, Azeez Ojulari, he was really bad against the run, but he flashed on pass rush and got home on a sack. And I think that was a guy who, you know, didn't get talked about at all, like, since the draft, really. And really promising to see him producing. And he played quite a lot, too, for the Giants.
Out of nowhere, Rook. I had one really big standout, but I'm going to start with Larry Roundtree, who, stat-wise, he ran for 27 yards, 3.4 carry, mm-hmm. whatever. Washington front seven, one of the best in the league. I just liked how physical he looked. He also looked good on special teams. I think he's going to be an interesting kind of complement to Austin Eckler, and he was the number two back all game. And obviously he adds a more of a pounding physical style than Eckler does. So I'm wondering if he'll be playing a lot.
I was surprised that he was the clear number two for the Chargers, and I'm happy about it. I like mm-hmm. Roundtree, but I was surprised.
And then my definite out of nowhere rookie was Trey Norwood, the Steelers rookie DB from Oklahoma. He played 80% of the snaps against the Bills and looked quite good in coverage. And that's not to say he didn't look good as a run defender either. He just looked good. He looked like he belonged out there. DB was kind of a question with them. Yeah. They lost Mike Hilton in free agency. And there was talks of Antoine Brooks maybe earning that starting nickel spot. He got cut, injury waived. And then you weren't really sure what was going on other than Joe Hayden. Cam Sutton, but would Cam Sutton play inside, outside? Having a versatile DB like Trey Norwood allowed Cam Sutton to play more outside. He kind of shifted around. James Pierre came in the game as well, but Norwood was playing some safety, was playing some nickel. I really liked what I saw out of him.
I got just one guy. Similar idea, not as lately drafted, but he was the late fourth. Team who needed a corner to step up. Marco Wilson, who played 91% of the snaps for the Cardinals, same as Byron Murphy. So that's the duo. The tight ends were really bad, like I've said already. So he wasn't really tested all that much. But when he was, he looked really good. And obviously, he kind of just got matched up on Julio like the whole game, which is a lot for a guy that I don't think either of us were big fans of. And it's not like we heard much about him in the offseason. And yeah, it looked pretty good. Three tackles. One, he came down and just made a really nice hit on the wide receiver, too, which is promising. Had a nice breakup where he just fought Julio through the contact. Didn't get credited for it because it was offside on the play, but still looked good. Then later on, Julio caught a 10-yarder-ish on him, but he was right there at the catch point. Julio had to go up, make a leaping over the head grab. It was tough. And him being good immediately, and again, Titans were a disaster, but that's a tough matchup. Beat him, and I mean, Chandler Jones just gave him no time to throw. But that's huge for the Cardinals. That is huge for the Cardinals. I I don't know of any other day three rookie. I guess Trey Norwood's up there, but any other day three rookies' week one performance being more important to the success of their football team than Marco Wilson's.
That's crazy.
And no shoes were thrown.
Just the, yeah, wow. Both of, but the fact that both Marco Wilson and Trey Norwood played so many snaps week one, I think that's pretty wild.
Yeah, I, like young we like before last week when we did the NFC West preview, we're like, who's the corner opposite of him? And like I think I said, it might be Tate Gowan, the other day three rookie, who I don't know if saw the field. I don't think he did. But it was Marco Wilson. Marco Wilson, the dude. Yeah.
Okay, finally start the rook. I told you mine's Justin Fields because. Yeah. But obviously not, because it's Andy Dalton revenge game this week against the Bengals. But I don't know. Andy Dalton looked not good enough to be playing anyway.
No.
And when you've got the first-round rookie behind him, and every Bears fan just wants Justin Fields, I know this is like a layup one, but yeah, I don't know. I was just really upset as an Ohio State fan. And look how Ohio State struggles without the king in Columbus. I just would like to watch Justin Fields play football again, you know?
I think so would everyone in the Chicago metropolitan area. No, I totally agree. Yeah, so I was going to say other than Justin Fields, question mark. So I'm going to go with, guess where I'm sticking, Rob? Columbus, baby. Wyatt Davis. I think they got to give Wyatt Davis a start. They give Ole Udo the start at right guard, and I thought he was pretty darn bad. The Bengals' interior defensive line actually looked really good, namely Larry Ogunjobi, who looked really good, and B.J. Hill, who looked like a really, really good pickup, and they dominated the Vikings' interior, and Udo gave up a sack, gave up another hurry. On top of that, he had a hold and a really, really, really dumb unnecessary roughness call that killed a drive for the Vikings. So, yeah, I think Wyatt Davis got to plug in. Obviously, Christian Darrisaw isn't ready yet. And they gave the least amount of snaps across the league to rookies. Only 4 snaps from rookies. And it was only Amir Smith-Marset getting those 4 snaps. So that's going to rise quickly with Darrisaw coming back eventually. But hopefully, Wyatt Davis gets a look soon. Because I don't know why they wouldn't.
Any big predictions for rookies in week 2? Anybody who... I don't know. Call your shot. Who's your prediction for... Are there offensive or defensive rookie of the week? Just a rookie of the week prediction.
Do you have something written down, or are you just...
No. I'm just...
Okay. Let me pull up... you know what? I'm going to make a pick for primetime star.
Okay. Cool. You know what? I'm going to pick a not ready to play.
No, because I can just pull up the schedule quick.
Yeah, I know. It's easier. I understood why.
Okay.
Aziz Ojulari would be a good one.
I thought about that, but fuck that game. I'm going to say the rookie offensive lineman, Penei Sewell. And I didn't mention them, but I should have snuck them in somewhere else. Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, who I thought looked... I didn't do a second rewatch of the game. I just watched that game live. I thought looked good. And the Chiefs offensive line wasn't great, but I thought Orlando Brown was the worst part of it. Actually, sorry, Lucas Niang was the worst part. And then Brown. And then Thune, even at couple holds. Humphrey and Smith, I thought, stood up the best. So, going into Baltimore, Sunday Night Football, good game. That's going to be really... I think that's the highlight of the week, yeah.
I'll be predicting worst rookie.
I like it.
Alex Leatherwood, because he's taking on the Steelers' pass rush, which was dominant against Buffalo.
I don't know why, but your delivery there felt a little norm. Recipes.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. All right. I'll see you next week, AJ. Let's not talk until then.
Okay.